الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وَعَلَىٰ آلِ سَيِّدُنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَبَارِكُ وَسَلَّمْ. We were discussing 25 points that the Siddiqeen and Sadiqeen trained their students in how to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one was to fix and improve and beautify our niyyah, our intention, even for simple things that we do. The second thing was to learn to speak less, to speak carefully, to speak consciously, and try to think less, so that the less we use our tongue and the less we use our mind, the more our heart will be in the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, and the more our heart will feel feelings for zikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. The third thing was to try to always remain in wudu all the time. Whenever we break our wudu, to make our wudu, so the qurb, the nearness to Allah Ta'ala that a person gets when they're in wudu, we can have that nearness all the time, and we're always ready to pray anywhere at any time. The fourth thing was to make sure to try to remember and recollect and to use and to pray to Allah Ta'ala the masnoon du'as and try to understand their meaning and to try to feel the same feeling in our heart that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt in his blessed heart when he said those words. And in the beginning, every night before we go to sleep, to replay our day and think how many occasions of those du'as actually passed by us today in which we failed to make those du'as. And we gave example of du'a after adhan, du'a of entering, leaving the home, etc. The fifth thing was to follow the sunnah in each and every aspect of our life. So this is what we were discussing last time. Now, what we ended on was love of the sahaba for the sunnah. Then just like that, the love of the ulama and the love of the awliyaullah for the sunnah was tremendous. One of the greatest ulama and awliya ever to live, and one of the greatest ulama and awliya in the 19th century. His name was Hazrat Shaykh Maulana Muhammad Qasim Nanotri Amtale, and he was the founder of Darulum Deoband. And he had so much love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam that built Darulum. He had read in a hadith that the fragrance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's natural perspiration, his natural smell, was the same as the smell of roses. So after he made Masjid of Darulum Deoband, he said that a whole rose garden should be made in front of the masjid. And what he used to do, it was the practice of his life, that every day he used to walk in that rose garden, because he used to remember Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar, our own Shaykh, when he heard this story, so in his masjid in Jang, he did exactly the same thing. If any of you ever visit us there, so in the masjid in Jang, in the place, the Khanqah of our Shaykh, right in front of it, he made a huge rose garden. And then different people, friends and lovers, sent all types of seeds and a variety of roses, even from South Africa. There are 300 varieties of roses in that rose garden. Allahu Akbar Kabira. The lovers, when they start loving Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's no end to their love, there's no limit to their love. There are two types of sunnahs. We've mentioned this to you before, that one are those sunnahs that are apparent, that are outward, and the second are the sunnahs that are inner. The sunnah, adab, akhlaq, feelings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we said that not only should we try to change our outer self, but we have to try to change our inner self according to the sunnah. How do we change our outer self? We must learn from hadith and from the ulama what are the outward acts of sunnah. How do we change our inner self? That is why we make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person says, okay, I follow outer sunnah, now I want to follow inner sunnah. I've made my dress and appearance like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now I want to make my character, my feelings, my heart like him. How do I do that? This is called doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more and more zikr of Allah ta'ala we do, then the more and more with the passage of time, Allah ta'ala will change our heart. As we mentioned last night, every time we do zikr of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does zikr of us. And the way Allah ta'ala changes our heart is to make our heart get closer and closer, however slowly, however gradually, closer and closer to the resemblance to the heart of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now obviously, just like none of us can completely physically look like him, none of us will ever to be completely spiritually like him, but this is the goal of the believer. Their outward and inward form, they wanted to keep getting more and more and more resemblance with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as much resemblance as they can. So that will happen by making more zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then imagine now if a person does both things. They're making zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they're making every effort to follow every outward sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These two things, ittibai sunnah and kasrat zikr, are the way that our mashayikh in Naqshband used to teach people how to follow this path to get closer to Allah. All over in his work, Imam Rabai Nabtaylay, he keeps saying these two things. Ittibai sunnah kasrat zikr. Ittibai sunnah kasrat zikr. Follow the sunnah entirely, make zikr of Allah excessively. These are the two things that will fix each and every single thing in our deen. We should remember that all of this is the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says in Quran, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. If it was not for the fazl of Allah Ta'ala upon you, wa rahmatuhu, and His infinite limitless mercy, ma zaka minkum min ahadin abada, no single one of you would ever have been able to become purified. So actually the real being who does our tazkiyah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Indeed Allah Ta'ala does tazkiyah of whomsoever He wants. وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ أَلِيمٌ. Allah Ta'ala hears. And all hearing and all knowing. What does it mean? Allah Ta'ala hears. One meaning is Allah Ta'ala hears in the pleas and cries and du'as of the tongue and the heart of all those who really want this tazkiyah. Allah Ta'ala is alim. Allah Ta'ala knows all the efforts and struggles and sacrifices people make for their tazkiyah. So this is the ayah that gives us hope that if we make du'a to Allah Ta'ala and we strive for this tazkiyah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do the tazkiyah of our heart. The greatest way to strive is this ittibai sunnah and then kasrat zikr. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. But like we said, we will first struggle and make zikr and then hope that Allah Ta'ala puts in our heart the inner sunnahs. But meanwhile, we will do our best to follow the outward sunnahs. Now then there's only one of two possibilities. Either we die after having purified our heart, after getting excessive zikr and following the sunnah entirely, or we die trying. The ulama mashayikh say that even if a person dies trying, and they didn't actually achieve the goal, they couldn't get all the sunnah character, right? They couldn't get all the sunnah feelings. But their whole life they were trying, that if they die trying, inshallah Allah Ta'ala on the Day of Judgment will raise them amongst those people who succeeded and who died having succeeded, and will raise them amongst the true people who are called Ahlus Sunnah. You can imagine that in this day and age, people, they love different brands, name brand. Somebody loves this type of car, somebody loves this brand of watch. So Allah Ta'ala also loves a brand. It's called the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And anyone who brings this Sunnah brand to Allah Ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have a special love for them. Our Shaykh, he tells the story that once there was a young boy, and on his way to school, there used to be an old woman who lived on the way to school. And every time she saw the young boy, she would go and hug him and kiss him and give him candies and give him some pocket money. So one day he asked her that, "Oh auntie, oh old woman, why is it that you have so much love and affection for me?" So then tears started coming in her eyes. And she said, "Actually, when I was younger, I had a son who passed away in his young age. And you resemble him so much." Means you look like him. You resemble him so much that every day, whenever you pass, my heart is overwhelming in love for you. So our Shaykh uses this example that if a person brings the resemblance of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Allah Ta'ala on the Day of Judgment, well, Allah Ta'ala loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam
infinitely more than that woman loved that young son of hers who passed away. So just like we love those, as humans, we love those who resemble our beloveds, Allah Ta'ala will also send His special love to those who bring the resemblance, mushabihat, of His beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's why Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, that have it proclaimed to them, my beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, that if you think you love Allah Ta'ala, if you claim you love Allah Ta'ala, if you want to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala says, you cannot love me directly. There is no direct personal relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is the name of that being, that we come to Him on His terms. We don't come to Him on our terms. And the terms He has laid out is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, فَاتَّبِئُونِي, tell them that they must do ittiba of sunnah. Tell them they should follow you if they claim that they love me. Okay, so let's say one of us hears this ayah, we say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we follow the Prophet. We wanted to love you, you told us the path to you lies through ittiba sunnah. We follow the sunnah. Now you accept us as your lover. Allah Ta'ala says, not only are you my lover, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, you are my mahbub. If you bring sunnah, you will become my beloved. You wanted to be my lover, I sent you to sunnah. You accepted the sunnah, you become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لُكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, Allah Ta'ala will love you and forgive you for all of your sins. Allahu Akbar, look at the power of ittiba'i sunnah. So if we really say that Ramadan is a month of Tawbah, when we beg Allah Ta'ala for mercy, so Allah Ta'ala has given us a way in Quran, what will happen? يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبُكُمْ, Allah Ta'ala will forgive you for all of your sins. Why? Because we did ittiba'i sunnah. So if we truly want to be forgiven, we should follow the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And anybody who is not following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it means they don't truly want to be forgiven then. They don't really want to be forgiven if there's any sunnah that they have left unpracticed. So because Allah Ta'ala is Al-Ghafar, Al-Ghafur, has kamil, perfect forgiveness, and we need that perfect forgiveness, therefore we should perfectly follow the entire sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So to be more kind and gentle to one's spouse, to be more tender and merciful to the children, to be honest to others, to have more what we call hilm and zarf, to have more forbearance, to be more accommodating to others, to be more tolerant of others. All of this is sunnahs of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every single such sunnah we practice, Allah Ta'ala will forgive us for our own sins. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Next point, number 6, is to have shukr. So a few of the elders who were there in ZMS when I came before, they will remember this one. To have shukr. What does it mean? To be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every single thing that we have. Shukr also means that whenever something happens according to what you wanted, things go according to plan, or even they go better than you plan, that's a time to do shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you wanted to wake up for Fajr, you did, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You wanted to reach work on time, you did, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The women wanted that their children should wake up and reach school on time, they did, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You wanted that they eat breakfast, they did, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You wanted that no problem should happen at school, you shouldn't get a call from the principal or teacher at home, you didn't, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You wanted that your children come home safe from school, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You wanted your husband that he comes home safe from work, make shukr to Allah ta'ala. You wanted that when your husband came home, that he should spend some time with you and talk to you and be nice to you, he did, make shukr that night to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You wanted that when you came home from work, your wife was waiting loyally loving for you, and she was a sukoon and a solace for you, she was when you came home, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you imagine in a single day how many things happened according to our wishes, or even more, and me and you, we failed to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ungrateful. In English, there's a strong term they use. It's called ungrateful wretch. Why? Because they view it's wretched. For a person who's ungrateful is wretchedness. And we're ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how people talk to one another. They'll say, oh, you ungrateful wretch, meaning that you didn't give thanks to me. And imagine how much of a wretch a person is if they don't give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are like that. We don't make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one way we share this with our friends, and the elders may remember, that you should do a new shukr every day. This should be your niyat in Ramadan. That, Ya Allah, every day I want to make a new shukr. What does it mean? I want to thank you for a blessing that you have given me that before today I never thanked you of that blessing ever in my life. And these days we're making a lot of shukr for fingertips. I never consciously made shukr to Allah Ta'ala for having hands and skin and fingertips that you can write and type and do your work. So I'm being trained, I have to do shukr for these things. All those years I wrote and type, I never made shukr for my hands. Allahu Akbar. Wrong? When you think like this, you'll be amazed. You will find all types of things in your life to make shukr of. In fact, because I will tell you, even if you make a brand new shukr every day for a blessing that you never made shukr for before in your life, the days of your life will end and the bounties and blessings of Allah Ta'ala will still be uncountable. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, if you try to count them, la tuhsuha, you will never be able to count them. But this is our desire, that we should try actively every day to make a new shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can be something physical, can be something in our health, can be our risk, can be something in our life. You open up the fridge, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see your children, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You enter work and you actually have a place to sit and where you earn, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Limitless shukr. So at least one shukr a day. Like we have this vitamin in America, it's called one a day. One pill a day and they say you're good to go. Huh? So we should do one candy of shukr a day. One new candy of shukr every single day. Make shukr to Allah Ta'ala for something new. This means to be amongst the shakirin. Actually we should have done shukr for everything a day. But even if we can at least do shukr of one thing a day, we can have hope that Allah Ta'ala, because of this constant feeling of shukr on a daily basis, that we can also be amongst the shakirin. Like Allah Ta'ala says, Anishkuruli, that you must be grateful to me. Then even, you know, complete the ayah from last night. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum washkuruli wala takfurun. Now what does this mean? Actually, kufr in Arabic doesn't mean to disbelieve in Allah Ta'ala. Kufr in Arabic means to deny. The greatest denial is to deny the existence of Allah Ta'ala. Hence they are called kuffar. Kuffar. This is mubalagha. That they are the greatest, they are doing the greatest, most criminal act of denial humanly possible, that they deny Allah. Allahu Akbar. So kufr means denial. So Allah Ta'ala knows that, obviously Allah Ta'ala used the word kufr for disbelievers in Quran, but for those believers who don't do shukr, washkuruli wala takfurun, Allah Ta'ala is saying, you deny my blessings. So yes, you didn't deny me, okay, you have iman in me. The next criminal form of denial is to believe in Allah Ta'ala but deny to be grateful to His blessings. Can you believe that? That's the second type of kufr. First type of kufr, to deny the existence of Allah Ta'ala Himself, disbeliever. Second worst type of kufr, that even though you believe in Allah Ta'ala, to deny to be grateful for the blessings He has given. وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ Alhamdulillah, Ta'ala saved us from the first kufr. Allah Ta'ala gave us this gift of iman. We should make dua, Ya Allah, save me from that second type of kufr. I never want to be denying your blessings. I never want to be oblivious to your blessings. I don't want to be a thankless person. I want to be thankful to you, grateful to you. This is why when somebody asks you, how are you doing? You shouldn't say things are okay. Why are you saying like that? Oh, things are okay. Make dua for me. Everything's so-so. No. If somebody asks you how you're doing, you say, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's billions of blessings are on me. I'm drowning in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have so many things in this world. Even if whatever you think you're having a tough time, huh? You had a tough time at work one day, somebody catches you that day and says, how are you? You say, oh, things aren't going so good. Allahu Akbar. You still have your home, you have your shelter, you have your family, you have your health, you're breathing, you're still employed, you're still drowning in the mercies of Allah Ta'ala. One little shake and you change your answer? That's also ungrateful. That's also ungrateful. So anybody asks you how you're doing, you say, our own shaykh, he says, Allah ka laq la karam, malika ihsan. He says that Allah's infinite mercy is on me. Allah Ta'ala's ihsan, Allah Ta'ala's undeserved favor is on me. Yes, I'm drowning in the undeserved, unearned blessings and bounties of Allah Ta'ala. I have undeserved karam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how we should say. When we start saying like that, talking like that, then it will become the feeling of our heart. And Allah Ta'ala is our true provider. He gave us everything in this world. If Allah Ta'ala didn't give us eyes, we would be blind. If He didn't give us hearing, we would be deaf. If He didn't give us a tongue, we would be mute and dumb. If He didn't give us a mind, we would be mentally handicapped. If He didn't give us health, we would have been physically handicapped. If He didn't give us children or a spouse, we would have been alone. Everything we have is the gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Normally people, they don't make shukr for one of two reasons. First, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us a beautiful thing in hadith, that when it comes to matters of the deen, you should look at those who have more than you, and when it comes to matters of the dunya, you should look at those who have less than you. Because that makes us do shukr. That makes us do shukr. We do the complete opposite. When it comes to matters of deen, we look at those who have less than us. And then we pat ourselves on the back. That okay, mashallah, I pray, they don't even pray. Or even the person who comes for Jummah says he just comes for Eid. The one who prays says he just comes for Jummah. The one who prays tahajjud says, look, he just prays. The one who sits for sunnah itikaf says he didn't come for itikaf. We're always looking at those who are less than us in deen, and that makes us feel that we're very advanced. We like to feel we're advanced. Nobody likes to be a beginner, huh? We like to be advanced. This is wrong. In deen, we should always look at those who are better than us, so we realize that we are complete beginners, novices, infants, toddlers, babies. Whatever you have in deen, look at those who are better than you. Then you will feel an attraction and an inclination. You realize there's more to be done, more I could do, more to be done. Always look for more. But we're like that about dunya. People in dunya, they always want improvement, always want progress, always want betterment, always want increment. That should have been our attitude towards deen. When it comes to dunya, we make the same mistake. Instead of following the hadith of the Prophet, we do the opposite. We look at those who are better than us. So if you drive this type of car, you see your friend got a better car, you start having desire for that. You see a person has a better house than you, start having desire for that. And you keep looking at those who are better than us in dunya, we start having desire for that, then all of our hopes, desires, efforts get diverted to dunya. Now in dunya we should look at those who had less. Everyone sitting here, no matter what your position is, what's the smallest accommodation you might have? 2-3 bedroom flat. I can tell you there are people in our country who are living in huge extended family in one room. 20 people in one room, that's it. No privacy, nothing. One room. Allah Ta'ala has given us so much. And it's not one or two people like that. There's so many people in Pakistan, Bangladesh, Yemen, Sudan, other African countries. You know how much Somalia, how much Allah Ta'ala has given us in the Ummah. Look at the people, and there's no shortage of people within our own Ummah who have so much less than us when it comes to dunya. They may... You know, when I went to study in one place in Pakistan, Ajib, there's a place called Multan. Then when you go outside Multan, deep, 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 there's a village called Mankot. When we studied there, there was no piping sewage, there was this type of water, if you understand. And you go to the bathroom and out there. Yes, Allahu Akbar. So I went there to study, and khair, I was a young American boy, I'd just come from America 2 years ago to study in Pakistan. And there were many other students there. So I tried my best always when I was in Pakistan to hide the fact that I was from America. But you can't hide these things, right? Because alhamdulillah now I don't seem to have that much of an accent, but back then my Urdu accent was, you could tell if I spoke Urdu that this person is not from Pakistan, not been born and raised in Pakistan. And khair, so there were some students who were living in the room next to me. So Ajib, you know, the students in madrasa are so poor, some of them, that even they would buy a bottle of Coke, 250 ml bottle of Coke, and they would have a huge bowl of water, and they would pour the bottle of Coke in the water, and they would all share that huge bowl, like almost like a basin, and that's how they drink Coke. Allahu Akbar, Kamehan. I was raised on Coke in New York City. Yeah, Allahu Akbar. We used to drink Coke like it was water when we were kids. That's what can we do, that's how we were when we were 10, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. Can you imagine that level of poverty? Allahu Akbar Kabira. One day they made kheer, which is a dish. Those of you who understand, it's a sweet dish made of milk and rice. And because I was also there in Ramadan. So one day they came to me in Ramadan and they knocked and they gave me a plate, or you can say platter, whatever, bowl of kheer. I was, Allahu Akbar, this is too much for me. They said, no, we want you to eat it. It's only later I found out that all the other students in the madrasa had chipped together money and they had gone to the main town and bought rice and milk enough to make two plates. All of them shared one plate and they gave one plate for me because I thought they were the guest. Allahu Akbar, could be that. Look at the level of shukr and love these poor people have. Ajeeb. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Can you mean you imagine like that? Huh? That one plate being shared amongst so many, there were 300 students that year in that class. I don't even know how many, they even, what type, it's not possible even that every one of them could have had from that plate. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So look at those, you have to come to our madrasas and then you will see. Huh? Not just people who are less off in dunya, but who are more in deen. You'll see both. One shot you will be able to do amal on this hadith. You will see those who are more higher than us in deen, and you will see who are less than us in dunya. Then a person does shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. How much shukr we could make is limitless. Because Allah ta'ala has given us limitless blessings. Limitless blessings. So this is the first mistake. The second mistake we make, and this is the last thing we'll be able to tell you for today. Second mistake, reason why we don't do shukr, is that when we do something, instead of attributing that success to Allah Ta'ala, we attribute it to ourselves. Therefore, we don't think we have to be grateful to Allah Ta'ala. You will find sometimes a young man, he goes for an interview. If he doesn't get hired, he says, oh, Allah Ta'ala must have wished me not to get the job. Or if he gets hired, he says, I did such a great job in the interview. I answered their questions so well, they had no choice but to hire me. Allahu Akbar. That's how they talk. They had no choice but to hire me. So it means when something happens, some success, we attribute our failures to Allah Ta'ala. Look at this adab. Anytime anything misfortune happens, we attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, everything is from Allah Ta'ala. Khairi wa sharri. Right? But our successes we attribute to ourselves. I did this, my struggle. We tell our children, instead of telling our children, oh my child, your grandfather was nothing when he came to this country and Allah Ta'ala gave him everything. Instead we say, oh son, your grandfather was nothing when he came to this country and he worked hard and he made effort and he established his business and he gave us everything we have, so you should also work hard in the business. What a way of talking. No. Grandfather was nothing. And he would still be nothing if it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you mean he worked hard? Yes, it might be factually true. I understand that. But you have to, the way we talk, our tone, our tenor, our words, our language, our manners, they will affect our heart. This child is being trained not to be grateful to Allah ta'ala. He's being trained to be grateful to the family tradition of business. It's the wrong type of training to give. Say, oh son, we are nothing and we are still nothing. We are nothing except the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you should pray, be grateful to Allah ta'ala. This business that gave you your own bedroom, you know how many children have to spend 10 people in a bedroom. This business is not because of me, my son, or your grandfather, great friend. This is the fazl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should pray to that Allah ta'ala who's given you these blessings. That's the way you should train the children. So we have to make shukr. So this was the second mistake, that we attribute these successes to ourselves. And Allah Ta'ala gave us a great reward for shukr. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ Allahu Akbar, Allah is so kind. Actually, we shouldn't do shukr. Right? Have you ever been that somebody gives you Pepsi, you say, thank you. They say, oh, here's a liter bottle. Huh? That's what I was saying. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ He gives you one glass of Pepsi, you say, thank you. He says, here's factory of Pepsi. Yeah, Allahu Akbar, it's even more than that. It's infinitely more than that. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ Such beautiful words. Ya Allah, we should make shukr to you. It is our duty to make shukr to you. You should have made it fard for us to do shukr to you. You should take away every blessing that we didn't make shukr from. You're so kind that you gave it to us even without us asking for it. And then so long passed and we didn't do shukr. And after months we made shukr, even then Allah Ta'ala say, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ Oh my slave, I gave you this blessing without you earning it, without you deserving it. Then you used this blessing of my mind for months without even being thankful for it. And now you come to me, be thankful for it. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ I will give you more and more and more because you are grateful to me. Allahu Akbar. So that Allah Ta'ala who wants to give us more, can't we want to do more shukr to Him? Can't we also do azidan? Can't we be like that also? You gave me more, I want to be more grateful to you. Remember, make this one-way relationship two-way. Allah, you want to do more for me, I want to be more loving to you. I want to be more grateful to you. I want to be more appreciative to you. Don't let it be a one-way. Make this one-way relationship Allah Ta'ala offers to us, make it a two-way relationship. May Allah Ta'ala make us from His most thankful, grateful servants. May He put in our heart an overwhelming feeling of shukr that we always feel in our heart that we're drowning in the mercy and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This feeling of shukr will also grant us the qurb of Allah ta'ala, will grant us the maghfirah and rahmah of Allah ta'ala. This feeling of shukr we should also have nisbat with Ramadan, because this is one of the reasons why Allah wants us to fast. So we feel grateful for the food and drink that we have. We feel grateful that otherwise we could eat and drink 24 hours, whatever, whenever we wanted. So Allah ta'ala wants us to feel that shukr and to feel compassion for the poor, to feel compassion for the needy, to have fikr for them, to alleviate the poverty in this ummah. It is possible, 100%. Allah has given this ummah enough wealth to completely eradicate, not even lessen, not reduce, to completely eliminate all poverty in the ummah. It's just that the ummah hasn't done this task. May Allah Ta'ala put sense in us, and He may put shukr in our heart. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Make dua inshaAllah ta'ala before this dua at the time of iftar. Subhanana minana wahab Allahumma salli ala sayyiduna Muhammad wa ala ali sayyiduna Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam takfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al khasirin. Rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khayrul rahimin. Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we have been your ungrateful wretches, Ya Allah. We come to you in shukr, Ya Rabbi Kareem. We want to do shukr for every bounty and blessing you gave us, for every happiness you gave us, for every health you gave us, for every opportunity you gave us, for all the risk you gave us, for the family that you gave us, for the eyes that you gave us, for the ears that you gave us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we always want to get this feeling of shukr, Ya Allah. We are grateful to you, thankful to you, appreciative of you. You know, if we were to spend our whole lifetime in sajda, Ya Rabbi Kareem, it would not even be shukr for one blessing that you have sent us. But you are so kareem, Ya Allah. You allowed our tongues to make this shukr. Let our tongue always be moist with shukr of you. Grant us the heart of shakireen, a heart of gratitude, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Ya Allah, we ask, and we are needy, Ya Allah. We ask that you grant us more and ever more from your infinite fazl, from your infinite karam. And most, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we do shukr for this iman, Ya Allah. We ask that you increase the quality of our iman, the strength of iman. Grant us the attributes of iman. Ya Allah, grant taqwa to this iman. Put haya in this iman. Give ikhlas in our iman. Put sidq in our iman. Ya Allah, we are grateful for this iman. Grant us more, Ya Rabbi Kareem. We are grateful for this masjid. Grant us more opportunities, Ya Rabbi Kareem. We are grateful for the ibadah that you allowed us to do. Ya Allah, grant us more, Ya Allah. More to Tawfiq, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Ya Allah, all of the ibadat that you enabled us to do in Ramadan, Ya Allah, it's only your fazl and karam on us. Ya Allah, actually you know how much we sinned outside of Ramadan. We should have been shameful, Ya Allah, that we tried to be hypocrites in front of you. We tried to appear as we were pious in front of you, but you were so Rahim and Sattar. You concealed the actions that we did for all 11 months of the year. You hid and overlooked the betrayals that we did, and you allowed us to come as if we were zakireen. You allowed us to come as if we were salikeen. You allowed us to appear in the guise of muttaqifeen. This is your rahmah on us, Ya Allah. Your karam on us, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask that you change us once and for all, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Make us the people of ibadah that we appear to be. Make us the people of ibadah that we want to be. Make us the people of sunnah that we outwardly seem to be. Grant us the haqiqat, Ya Allah. The reality, Ya Allah. The inner reality, Ya Rabbi Kareem, out of your infinite karam and fazl, Ya Allah. We do shukr that you made us from the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, we want to follow each and every one of his sunnahs, Ya Allah. Make us haris of his sunnah, desire of his sunnah. Any and every sunnah that you have enabled us to follow up till now, it's only your karam, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Otherwise, the type of sinful lives that we lead, the sinful acts that we have done, it does not befit the sunnah that someone like us should look like the sunnah. It does not befit the sunnah like someone like us should be a caller to the sunnah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, it is your karam and fazl, Ya Allah, that our hearts have become stained with sin, and still you let our lives be enlightened with acts of ibadah. Ya Allah, if you can do this, Ya Allah, then remove the stains from our heart, remove the sins from our heart, remove the lust from our heart, remove the envy from our heart, remove the arrogance from our heart. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, put all of the sunnah feelings in our heart. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we can never be worthy, but we are trying to make ourselves worthy of the sunnah, worthy of your karam, worthy of your fazl. We are unworthy, Ya Allah, make us worthy, Ya Rabbi Kareem. We are ungrateful, Ya Allah, make us thankful and grateful, Ya Rabbi Kareem. We were uncaring, Ya Allah, make us caring, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Let us care for the poor of this ummah, let us feel for the needy of this ummah, let us work for to eliminate the poverty in this ummah, let us do, Ya Rabbi Kareem, share the blessing that you have given us with those who need them, Ya Allah. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, every bounty and blessing you have given us, we want to use it in your ibadat, Ya Allah, in your itaat, in your obedience, Ya Allah, in zikr, Ya Allah. Never let us use any gift you have given us in your disobedience, Ya Allah. Let never any bounty be a distraction from us to you. Let it never divert us from you. Let us never put a ghaflat in our heart, Ya Rabbi Kareem.
Bismillah.
Amin. Ya Rabbi Allah.